Chapter 1. After driving under the redwood shadows, the crescent-shaped beach seemed to burst before them in shocking white and heavenly blue. In that moment, Dory forgot to be suspicious of Gavin poking into her personal stuff to plan their first romantic trip. She was mesmerized by the ocean that sparkled as if diamonds had fallen from the sky.
"Is this my surprise?" she asked.
"Part of it," Gavin said, leaning over the steering wheel to get a better look at Carmel River Beach. "Wow, it's usually fogged in." She rubbed her goose pimply arms to warm them up, welcoming the heat of the late afternoon sun. A month ago, Gavin told her he had set up a surprise just for the two of them. Dory's first instinct was to demand how he knew her work schedule when she hadn't told him. But he had been so full of glee and mischief that she stretched her lips into a grin and asked if she should pack for warm or cold. He replied both, and then during these past weeks left her clues throughout the house, a pine cone, beach sand, and an antique glass bottle, and this morning, a vintage teacup hand-painted with a fairy tale cottage.
"It's been killing you, hasn't it?" he asked, cutting into her thoughts.
"What?" she asked, stalling. Laughter made his lips tremble.
"Don't what me?"
In such a short time, he knew her too well.
"You've been dying to know how I knew you'd have this week off."
"It crossed my mind."
"Okay, I'll tell you. You left your work calendar on the kitchen table."
"When?"
"A couple of months ago. You didn't think I'd poke around your stuff, did you?"
Yes, she had, but opted to keep it to herself. In her experience, men didn't react well when challenged. One wrong word, and they'd be yelling, and then all the juggling he'd done to make sure his daughter was taken care of and his work calendar rearranged would be ruined.
"Come on, admit it," he said, sneaking his hand over to grab hers, which she held balled tight in her lap.
Dory took a deep breath and then admitted, "Okay, I did, but I didn't make a big deal of it because it's not like I have anything to hide." He squeezed her hands.
"I know my limitations. I just wanted this to be special."
He then let go of her hands to hold onto the wheel. Dory uncurled her fingers. She rolled down her window, breathing in the cold air tinged with ocean pine and cypress. The road took them by the 18th century Carmel Mission, and whimsical cottages with thatched roofs, stone chimneys, and diamond-paned windows tucked into the forest. Eventually, they turned and headed down Ocean Avenue that cut through the center of the small downtown. Couples and families, almost all with dogs, strolled in and out of the boutiques and cafes. After 7 hours in the car, she wanted to walk up and down these streets with Gavin's hand in hers. Gavin pointed out his favorite restaurants and the bookstore he wanted to show her. Her eyebrows lifted when he pulled into the Porte Cochere at the Del Mar, a Mediterranean resort built in the 1910s. It was a few streets away from the shops and restaurants. The ocean's roar could be heard through the trees. A bellhop took them out of the lobby and across the street to a cottage hidden by overgrown hedges. A crooked river rock chimney reached up to the sky and green moss decorated the shingled roof. Adirondack chairs with colorful pillows were grouped around a brick fire pit. A path meandered alongside the cottage to a second, smaller one in the back. The bellhop opened the Dutch door.
"Go on, check it out," Gavin said.
Dory walked inside while he tipped the bellhop and sent him away. Burning logs snapped in the fireplace and a bottle of champagne waited in an ice bucket. A bouquet of her favorite flowers, sweet peas that were so dark they were almost black, rested on the giant bed. Her chest went hot and tingly as she stood there taking it all in. He did this for her. The long drive, the lucky break finding her schedule and juggling his work crew and his daughter. He'd worked late last night, but he brought her here. No man had ever done something like this for her before because, well, frankly, she never let one get past her defenses. When she hadn't been paying attention, Gavin saw the romantic heart she kept hidden and had known just what would make her eyes fill up with tears. The door shut. She turned and saw that knowing grin of his stretched proud and unrepentant. "Oh, shut up," she said, looking away when her voice cracked under the strain of not crying in front of him.
He got to work on the champagne while she stopped being such a girl. It only took 36 years for it to happen, but with one letter from him, Dory tripped and fell deeply, truly, completely in love. He had offered to buy her house, and when she told him she was keeping it, he just smiled like he'd known she would do that. They spent every other weekend together unless Dory was on duty or he had his 6-year-old daughter, Bella, whom she still hadn't met. Gavin respected her job, and his laid-back, creative mind was the antidote to long days on the job. He even survived a cop barbecue without getting intimidated by her male colleagues, who initially froze him out. He started talking with her sergeant's wife, and before Dory knew it, Gavin was like an old friend of the family. Now, when her colleagues invited her to barbecues, they always asked if Gavin was coming too. As happy as she'd been these past 3 months, she also lived in terror. There were nights she'd jolt awake that it had all been a dream, like Bobby Ewing's death on Dallas. She always screwed up. But as Meg told her, maybe she wouldn't this time. She cleared her throat and joined him by the fire. When Gavin handed her the flute, glittering with golden bubbles, she trusted herself to talk. "Thank you," she said, sinking into the impossibly comfortable sofa. "I did good, didn't I?" He clinked his glass against hers, then nudged her over so he could sit with his arm around her shoulders. After a few sips of champagne, she let her head rest on his shoulder. "This is all..." She choked up again. "We have an hour and a half before sunset," he said easily, as if her tears were safe with him. The fire warmed her face. She could fall asleep to the sound of his heartbeat. "You know, I'm worried about something," he said, putting his flute on the table. "What?" He took her drink and set it next to his. He then looked down at her lap. "Your jeans look too tight." The warm, fuzzy bubble in which she had been floating popped. "What?" "Mm-hmm." Just when she was about to get good and offended, his fingers traced the inseam up her thigh. His hand cupped over her, fingertips pressing ever so slightly to make her squirm for more. "I don't want you to be uncomfortable," he said quietly, just before he sucked her earlobe into his hot mouth. With a hiss of surprise, she arched up from the sofa, loving the feeling of being teased by those strong, dark fingers. He then firmly took her chin and turned her face to him. His eyes met hers, and then he kissed her. Holding her in place, his tongue invaded her mouth, mimicking what he'd do once he got undressed. She grabbed onto him, and he made a dark sound that sent a vibration from her mouth straight to where his hand played her. With Gavin rhythmically stroking her, she lifted her hips in a silent plea for more. He smiled against her mouth before catching her bottom lip between his teeth. Her zipper hissed down. "Lift your hips," he said. She did, and for a fleeting moment realized the curtains were wide open. Gavin yanked her jeans and panties down in one pull, and she forgot all about the windows.